Welcome to Grilling at the Green After Hours, conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com.
Hey, welcome to After Hours here on Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. We've got Portland John with us. Portland John is a tour caddy who's been working in Asia for a while now. Did you have to come back for visa requirements or something and stay for a little bit and then go back? Or?
No, mental capacity. No, actually, I call it the off season right now.
Yeah.
We have a 2.5 month gap on the Asian tour schedule, mainly because of religious fasting.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because the fasting month started later or whatever. That, and it worked out well, to there was already a gap, so they just extended it a little bit. So basically, I needed to come over here to decide if I'm going to work LPGA, web, what I'm going to do to try and fill in the next 2.5 months before our schedule starts up. And then that Asian tour schedule, we've literally going to have to pick a week here and a week there to take off because we've got too many weeks in a row.
Well, they're tough people over there. They just grind on.
Yeah, and they think that until they get there Sunday and have no energy, or that fourth round and have no energy and wonder why they can't shoot low scores on the weekend.
Right.
Well, you ground too hard on Monday.
Right, right. Gosh, you know, I've heard so many people at, not so much from the press, but the gallery at some of these tournaments and stuff I've covered and been to, you know, they have little comments about tour caddies. And sometimes the caddies have been not nice, but I've never seen a caddy come out and just be aggressive towards the crowd. It was usually something the crowd did, you know, when they took pictures or yelled or threw a cup of ice on somebody, or, you know, just dumb stuff that they do on occasion. I don't think they probably do that in Asia, do they? Because they probably get caned.
Yeah, I've seen it all. And in Asia, we can get into the fact that they're probably going to more likely help their local countrymen than they are the foreign country people.
Yeah.
And there's that aspect to be thrown in there. And
wow. Well, I've seen that. And then, you know, somebody that you'll hear the whispers in the back that the caddy and the player move on. And they go, well, that caddy didn't have to do that. Well, you know, you're not just there to give them yardage and, you know, tease or whatever. You are there to look out for their best interest, because their best interests are your best interests. And that always really irritates me when I hear people yelling in the gallery. I mean, if it's at the 18th and the last putt's going in and that, and I don't think you have to sound like a morgue the whole time the show or the tournament's going on. But these jack wagons that get a few too many beers in them, and I have nothing against drinking. I do it myself on occasion, but you see where I'm going with this?
Oh, been there, done
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's not even counting when we start to get the 17th at, you know, Phoenix and things like that, where it's encouraged.
Yeah, it is encouraged. And then, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because they pretty much have all the locals caged up there, you know, in the bleachers and stuff. But I don't know. I think sometimes caddies get a bad rap. And then there's also this mystique, John, about caddies, that they're this wild bunch. Well, maybe when you were 25, maybe not when you're a little longer tooth. Yeah.
I hear, you know, I can no longer appreciate going and hanging out all night anymore.
Yeah.
My body
won't do it
for various reasons. It doesn't want to process the alcohol like it used to. That's when you wake up in the morning and you're like, really? And I got to go through all day on this heady, hilly place?
Yeah.
And that's the joke with the guys now, where they're like, well, how come you don't want to go do this or you don't want to do that? I said, you do realize I did that 7 times already in my 14 years I've been to this city. You know, it's
right.
You know, I'm running out of things to do. So it slows you down again. And the gym time that I choose to put in now so that I can keep doing this longer, being that I am one of them long in the tooth caddies.
Can you use the players' facilities for anything?
It depends where and what. For the most part, no.
So, because I know they've got, some of them, what was it last year? One of the guys that, he's a friend of mine who runs he's the regional manager here for Golf Tech. And he looped for somebody, one of his pals, think at U.S. Open or something last year. Anyway, he had pictures. What was one of them? It's either USGA or the Open. The guy qualified. He didn't make the cut. But Chris said he was there, you know, from Sunday till Friday night or whenever. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, they were really great. You know, they gave us all this great stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, and I went in there and I got the massage and I got the chiropractic thing. But it sounded like that was kind of indigenous just to that one tournament.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
Every tournament takes care of people differently. It does. And there's, however the sponsors choose to have it done is usually what's going to go on. Or which organization is running it. Is it an Octagon? Is it an IMG? Is it a William? You know.
Yeah. I mean, you've got that, but it's always kind of interesting. But it's still the anomaly of being a caddy. There's something about it. I guess, you know, there's been movies about it. Back to Martin and Lewis, you know, did that. And then Caddyshack and all that stuff. But I just find it's kind of phenomenal. Some of the stories are pretty wild. Some of them are a little more mundane. And I think the truth lieth in the middle somewhere, probably.
I'll go probably for the wilder side than the more mundane side, usually. Yeah.
Well, you survived. Whatever you did, you survived. That's the good part.
So far.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if I'm able to survive this heat and humidity, I can hardly wait to get out here because we're getting to the hot stretch of the web and the hot stretch of the LPGA where they're going to be in some of the hotter environments.
Yeah.
I'll be like, what do you mean hot? We call this 8 o'clock in the morning where I've been. Like, let's go.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, coming home from Australia once and what was worse was I think one time was Mexico. I came back with like you're dressed with shorts and a golf shirt on and stuff. We landed in Seattle and it was like 13 degrees outside. And I called down here and I said, bring me some clothes to the airport because I'm freezing to death, right. You know, and all my other luggage was packed and I really didn't have anything warm. I mean, I'd been down there for 2 weeks and I was like that, you know? And they did. They brought me some sweatpants and a couple of sweatshirts. And I didn't even have any shoes on. I had flip-flops on. So they have socks and shoes, you know, tennis shoes. And I was pretty good to go. But that climate change, that is true climate change, that stuff.
Yes.
You know, when you do that.
And it has an effect on your body. It really does. It isn't always just jet lag.
What's the nicest thing one of your players has ever done for you?
Oh, that could be a long list of it. I mean, when you travel with your player, it makes life a lot easier.
Uh-huh.
It just really does, you know. I've had a player buy me a very expensive Gore-Tex-based jacket when we were in Korea, right? And I'm like, oh, I'll probably never wear it. And you know what? That first round, I had it and four more layers on. It was the coldest, and I'm so glad that she bought it for me that week. It's just one of those really...
nice things.
Yeah, and I still to this day have that Gore-Tex thing with me.
You know? Yeah. What's the worst thing a player's ever done to you?
Oh, I've had a player blame me for things that were not my fault and do it for a lengthy period of time where her and I had fired each other a couple of times. And this time she was throwing clubs and things and whatever, and it was right in front of the main clubhouse. And I had already volunteered to send, because I had free shipping, to send her back home for her. Because it was the last event of the season. And the way that she treated me that last hole in front of everybody, some big-name veterans were stopping me in the parking lot going, what are you still doing with her bag in your hand? You should have left it in the fairway when she was doing what she was doing.
Yes.
You know, and it's
I the way it that was the end of that, really.
Yeah, and then we worked together again 2 years later.
Had she improved mentally? Emotionally?
No. A little, but no. I mean, that's just the nature of how certain players are that way. Some people aren't. I mean, it's just in my 22 years and different personalities and different nationalities and all that, I've gone from the girl who doesn't talk to the girl who won't be quiet, you know?
Yeah.
One of my players, they used to say, could talk a dog off a garbage can.
Well, I've never heard that one before, but I've heard...
When you're around people from the South, you get all kinds of ones we ain't heard up here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's pretty interesting. So if I was going to say, John, give somebody some advice. If you think maybe somebody's just graduated and they've worked for a couple of years and they're not happy with what they're doing, they love the sport, obviously, they know, you know, they know the lingo. What advice would you give them if they're thinking about becoming a caddy?
Don't. Yeah, that'd be my first one. It takes a rare breed to be able to live out here and beg for work in the parking lots each week. It does. And know that you need to get work or you're not paying your rent, you know, those types of things. That's what getting started on tour usually is, unless you know somebody. And even then, there's a couple of stories of guys that have come from the LPGA out there, and we got a large contingent on the PGA of ex-LPGA caddies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even those guys can't put their name to that new guy until they all know whether he can still caddy or whatever, right? So again, even though he's got connections, he's still out there on his own trying to get work still. And it's just the nature of how it goes. So
right.
There is no job security. That's another one. Most people can't handle that, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, my whole life I've worked as an independent contractor in the work that I've done. And it takes a special kind of breed of cat to do that type of thing. Because you're right, you know, you can have a fantastic stretch, several months, maybe a couple of years, and then it can be, you know, dry as a bone in the desert for 6 months or a year. And you got to be able to make it through that.
Yeah.
It's a tough deal.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't, again, nowadays, if you don't know the person, are they going to take the chance on you? Right. So it's harder to get work than it used to be.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, and I think the money, all the tours, the money has gone up.
But yes.
PGA, it's gone up exponentially.
Correct. I mean,
it's huge there. But I've noticed in the LPGA tour, it's gone up. And even in the seniors or the champions tour, it's gone up.
Right.
Like that. And then you guys got guys like Colin Montgomery who drives, and speaking of the seniors, he drives himself. He doesn't really fly much anymore. When they're in the States, him and his wife like to drive across the country and see stuff. So, you know, it's changed. The landscape has changed for the tours, all the tours and the caddies, but still a good gig if you can get it.
Especially, yeah. I mean, if you get a player that's playing well, that likes having you around and you grow together with them, there's lots of opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah. Couple of last questions here, John.
No worries.
What's the thing that you've seen a player do during a tournament? And I don't care which tour it is, and you don't have to name them, but you know, if you said, man, you know, they should be 86th out of here for their behavior. I mean, I know you probably got a long list.
Well, you started with, I'll give you one that Dottie would be one of the fire brands that you would have to use. Is when I first remember watching Dottie, and Ralph was working for it at the time, or husband to be, or husband at the time, whatever. Yeah. And she was hucking clubs right and left, and he's not even looking up from his yardage book. He's just sticking his hand out, grabbing them in helicopter mode all day. You know, one, I swear she was going to take his head off. He just ducked and put his hand up and caught it. And I'm like, now that's teamwork.
Yeah.
You know? And then I see Val going off, you know, and yelling and screaming at her caddy all on a regular basis. And caddy's looking at her and finally just gave it right back to her, you know. And it's like, oh, well, guess that's how that relationship needs to go to make it work, you know.
Yep. Well, it's interesting.
So.
It's interesting because some of the Asian ladies that are playing – they seem to be a little more demure about things. Now, we don't see everything. We don't see behind the curtain, so to speak. But out on the course, they're very focused and, you know, about the only thing you ever see them do on TV is maybe slap a club in the grass a little bit, you know.
Definitely a lot more emotionally mature would be a way to put it.
They're sure.
Like, you know, they don't live in the... I guess if I use Vision 54's four quadrants, they don't live in the overly excited quadrant very much. They're more down along the baseline. And maybe in the end of the day when they go home and they break down or whatever, that's different. But
yeah,
they are definitely, they're much, it's going to get me in a little bit of trouble, I'm sure, but I always speak the truth usually. And that is that they are more mentally tough. They just are. It's the nature of the family. It's just all of it.
Well, and they're they come from a long line of very good discipline.
Yeah.
You know, very disciplined. You know, their culture has a certain discipline to it, and they adhere to it, and so on and so on and so on. You know, I've seen that lots of times. And I've also seen some of the rising stars act like jackasses out there. I've never seen one of the Japanese or Koreans or any of those folks throw fits. I just have never seen it. What I consider a real fit. Never seen that. But I've seen plenty of Europeans and Americans and some people from north of the border and stuff. I've seen them throw a few fits.
Oh, a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I 100%.
Yeah.
And that'll hold true from what I've seen on every tour, men, women, senior,
right,
Asian, non-Asian, whatever. You can tell they are a much more, don't want to say stable, but they keep it at a much evener tone.
Yeah, they're pretty even keeled about
stuff. Yeah, for the most part.
John, thank you for coming in. It's
been
a real
pleasure.
We'll do it again next time you pass through town, or if you're here this summer when the Cambia is on, if you're still
around. Yeah, I definitely will not. It's going to be the first Cambia I've missed in 22 years, or the Portland tournament.
Sure.
We want to look at it.
The Safeway of the Cambia.
But I'll be in Indonesia for the entire month. Well, I already know that schedule is.
I'll miss you on that one, but we'll catch you up again. But thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. We'll be back next week with more Grilling at the Green. Check out our website, grillingatthegreen.net, and our Twitter and our Facebook and all that good stuff. So long for now. Take care.